Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, now joining us, Zachariah Darrell, the Guru Johnson here on 95.7 The Game. He's becoming a bit of a friend of the program. You know him well. You know that smiley face on KTVU Channel 2. He's also on Twitter. We're trying to get this guy more involved in the Twitter game. We're trying to up those follows. So if you're listening, follow him on Twitter, Mark Abanez, too. He joins us now. Mark, how are you?
Hey, everything's great. I hope you guys had as good a holiday as I did. Nice to have the kids back home from school and all that stuff. It was wonderful, man, and I'm pumped. As you know, I just came back from a Steph Curry event, so it was great.
Yeah, tell the listeners about it. What exactly was going on there? My partner was joking that his Curry's calf must be fine because he was carrying a bunch of boxes.
No question about it. It was a church in Oakland, and for the third straight year, get this, given out 400 meals and necessities to families in need. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you guys. This is the first time that I have ever met Steph one-on-one. I've done group interviews with him before, and I had a chance to do a one-on-one interview with them and hang out for 3 or 4 hours in Oakland with the giveaway. And this guy's for real. I mean, I'm intuitive enough to know a nice person who's not putting on a show. And this guy is definitely the real deal. He truly is the nice guy that you guys always hear he is. He really impressed me a lot.
Marks, speaking of impress, yesterday the Warriors took on the Cavs. It was a big showdown, and I'm running out of adjectives again to describe Steph Curry. But, Mark, I'm getting more in awe of Draymond Green. And it's not the buckets, it's not the passing, it's not the three-pointers. It's the leadership role that I see him demonstrating, you know, all four quarters. And is it safe to say he is the heart and soul of the Golden State Warriors?
I really think it's incredible the metamorphosis that we're seeing from this guy. And you are right. I mean, he is the guts that grinds things out with that team. And, you know, just his facial expressions alone should tell you his determination to win. And he is literally doing everything on the floor to will the Warriors to victory. I'm just so impressed with him. He's got the intangibles. And I think one of his mates said it yesterday, Sean Livingston, I think it was, who said he's a winner, and that's a skill. You can't teach it. You can't put your finger on exactly what it means. This guy is a winner.
Mark Abanez, KTVU Channel 2, is joining us, Zachariah and the Guru, here on 95.7 The Game. Mark, the thing I was most impressed with from the game last night was the score, 89-83. For all the Charles Barkleys out there that say jump shooting teams can't win, what people tend to forget is how good of defense this team can play. And so for me, it was a little bit special beating the Cavs, who said if they were fully healthy, they could have been the better team, but also beating them in a grinded out defensive fashion.
There were lots of facets of this game that I really liked. And number one, I think we all saw that picture of the woman on the sideline who was calling LeBron a crybaby. And did you see that, where she was in the courtside seat?
Yes.
And she was,
and he caught her. He caught her.
Yes, yeah, he did.
Yeah, yeah, that was the beauty part about it. But, you know, the thing was, I did think that the Cavs did a lot of whining last year about how they weren't at full strength and intimating strongly that they would have been the better team had they had everybody out there. And I love the fact that they were actually healthier than the Warriors, you know, because I think Harrison Barnes is such a huge part of what the Warriors do. But I like the fact that they were able to slow it down. Obviously, Steph Curry did not have a lights-out shooting day, and they were kept under 100 points, and they still found a way to grind out the victory. But I got to tell you guys, I'm not a huge fan of basketball on Christmas. It's kind of a sacred day to me, and I looked at it like, okay, guys, my whole family had like 28 people over there. I said, you can watch the game during dinner, but no volume. Got to turn the sound down, and you can watch it. And I almost choked on my turkey when I, out of the corner of my eye, saw Steph walk into the locker room with his socks and shoes off, or his shoe off, and I'm the one who broke the code of silence. I'm the one who I'm like, I'm turning up the volume. What the heck's wrong with him? You know? So I think all Warrior fans kind of caught their breath at that moment. But he assured me today that it's absolutely nothing. It was just a little cramp in his calf, and he's all right, and you know, all is good with the Warriors. Continuously.
Mark, not only a game on Christmas, another Bay Area team had a game on Christmas Eve. The Oakland Raiders sent Seawood off in style, an exciting game. But another storyline to that game was possibly the last game for the Raiders in Oakland. And I don't know, I'm guilty of this. I just felt like there's no chance of them leaving. Do you feel like the Bay Area really grasped the fear of the Raiders actually leaving? Or was an underlying confidence that I think I have, that I saw from a lot of other people as well as the press?
I don't think the Raiders are leaving. And I think there's a combination of reasons for that. But I think the club in St. Louis, the Rams, I think they're going for sure. And I think the league is not going to accommodate Mark Davis. I don't think they're going to make things easy. I think they remember his father suing the NFL, and I don't think there's this huge magnet pull by Los Angeles to get the Raiders. And I don't feel that there's a lot of pull down there. I just have a gut feeling. My gut is telling me the Raiders are staying in Oakland, and they're not leaving. But we just got to get some people figured out in the East Bay. There's no real deal makers, like, love them or hate them, but like Willie Brown, who makes things happen, a Carmen Policy. I mean, the Raiders got to get somebody who can make things happen and shake the ground a little bit and make sure they stay in Oakland. But I really, for some reason, just my instincts are telling me they're not going anywhere next year.
How much do you think them now being in a spot, having a franchise quarterback, a franchise wide receiver, actually getting a free – well, he wasn't a free agent. You retained him. But Crabtree choosing to sign back with the Raiders, having a, you know, competent coaching staff in place, how much does all of that affect their chances of staying or going? Does it matter whether or not they're you know, 2-14 or 8-8? Does the success of the team have any effect on whether or not they stay?
I think all signs are positive for the Raiders with regard to on the field happenings, but I really don't think that it influences unless it was really over the top. Like, for instance, I mean, I know the Warriors are basically out and moving to San Francisco, but I mean, a big geographical change, I don't think it affects anything unless the Raiders were like a perennial playoff Super Bowl power, which they are not at this juncture of their history, and I think they're headed in the right direction, but I don't think that aspect has a lot to do with it, because the Raiders have been non-competitive, let's put it that way, for so many years. You're not hearing a big outcry from fans leaving, and you're not hearing a big pull from the other side of wanting them. And I think ideally for the Raiders in Oakland, I think that's a good thing, because I think they have a better chance of retaining them, not having to go up against a location and an aspect like a company or an owner or a guy with you know, billions of dollars wanting them. Does it seem to you like anybody is really pulling for the Raiders to come to L.A.? I'm not feeling that.
Mark Davis would be the only person that comes
me
to mind.
Me neither.
Yeah,
I mean, Mark says he wants to stay in Oakland, but everything he's doing is leading him to L.A., so he's the only guy. But, yeah, in terms of the NFL, you're right.
Yeah, I don't see it, and I don't see anybody begging him to come down there. And I don't see him – I mean, do you guys see any way, shape, or form that this guy gets 24 votes to move the team? That's what he needs, right?
Yeah.
I don't see it happening.
No, and of course they, you know, they respected Al a little bit, but there were people that had beef with him because he sued the league, and now it's the Sun, and the Sun doesn't have a ton of respect amongst those guys. So, yeah, I mean, I couldn't see him getting the vote either.
No, I would think of the three teams they're talking about, you know, Spanos has a lot of respect and probably fewer enemies in the NFL. I see, you know, the guy whose name is skipping my mind right now in St. Louis.
Kroenke.
Yeah, that guy. That guy's got the money. He can do everything. He can turnkey it himself. And he's, you know, the rest of the owners, they love money, you know, and he's got it. And they're going to put him number one. Number two is Spanos and the Chargers, and I think the Raiders are number three. And I don't see any way, shape, or form that all three of those teams would move to L.A. I just don't see that happening.
Mark, you brought up Carmen Policy, so I'm shaking in my boots. I ache for the Niner empire and what they're watching. But you know what, Mark? The games are they're getting worse. The losses are more embarrassing.
Boring.
Week after week, and there's ineptness all from the coaching. And I say that to say, do you think that York is looking at this like, you know what, damn it, this is enough, I'm going to make a change? Or do you think he doesn't, like Zachariah says, want to be proven wrong, and he's just going to run with what he has?
Gosh, that's the million-dollar question, and I agree with you guys. I mean, it's okay to not get to the playoffs. I mean, not that okay, but at least you want an entertaining, scrappy team.
Promising. Even promising would help.
Yeah, that adjective too, you know. Yeah. And I think what we've seen with the 49ers is they're dull. They're unwatchable. I said this the other day. If you were starting a team of your own and you could pick one guy off the 49ers, who would you pick? I mean, who would you want off that entire roster? There's no franchise player, and they've got to make massive changes. They absolutely have to have a guy in there who's familiar with building a team, a guy with a legacy. And, you know, the pipe dreamers, forget about Eddie D getting back involved. Forget about Carmen. It's not going to happen. No way, no how. There's too much ego involved with the Yorks and too much bad blood. But you would think Jed York is a smart enough guy to know he's got to bring in like a Mike Holmgren type of guy, someone with some loyalty and history with the 49ers that has their best interest at heart, and really bring in a committee, the Steve Young, Joe Montana, Ronnie Lott, guys living in the area that could almost form a committee and help bring this franchise back to respectability. Because right now, I mean, can we admit they're kind of a laughingstock?
Oh, we can.
Yeah, you know? I mean, and it's horrendous when you think of how fast they have fallen. It's almost unbelievable that, what, 2 years ago they were in the Super Bowl? You know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the biggest, colossal, just
meltdowns
that I can remember. I mean, and so, like you said, so quick. He is an anchor icon, Mark Abanez. Follow him on Twitter. Let's get him to 1,000 people at Mark Abanez 2, so his people at KTVU can get off his back for needing to use
there
it more.
There it is.
And wonderful stuff that you did with Steph. It's always a pleasure when you join us, Mark. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Anytime, guys. They're dragging me, kicking and screaming into the technological age.
Take it easy.
Thank you, Mark. Have a good one.
All right, you guys. Have a good holiday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.